to the podcast of the City Club of Eugene, Oregon. The City Club builds community vision through open inquiry and is dedicated to enabling an informed public on a wide range of topics. Coming up in today's program.
Voters never intended that judges should lose their discretion when they are in sentencing phase. They did not intend to shift the balance of power and control to district attorneys in negotiations, but that is what the results are when you have a mandatory minimum sentence process.
When it's a Measure 11 sentence, the person can be confident, the victim can be confident that that person is serving the sentence that was imposed by the court. When it's a non-Measure 11 sentence, the person can be released with having served up to, well, as little as half of the sentence imposed.
We appreciate the sponsors who make our civic work possible, including Kaiser Permanente, kp.org, Lane Community College, lanecc.edu, Peace Health, peacehealth.org, the University of Oregon, uoregon.edu, Lane County, and the City of Eugene. And here's today's program.
Welcome to the City Club of Eugene's December 10, 2021 program. Measure 11 mandatory sentences, repeal, revise, or retain. My name is Kitty Piercy, and I am the City Club president. Support for the club is provided by our members and sponsors. You can become a member of the City Club at our website, cityclubofeugene.org. In today's program, we welcome speakers Floyd Przanski, Oregon State Senator from District 4, and Patty Perlow, Lane County District Attorney. Biographical information on our speakers is available on our website, cityclubofeugene.org. I'd like to thank Andrew Kallick and Joel Korn for coordinating today's program. Measure 11 mandatory sentences, repeal, revise, or retain. Measure 11 is a state law that sets minimum mandatory sentences for certain crimes. It was approved by ballot referendum in 1994 by a nearly two-thirds majority of Oregon voters and went into effect on April 1, 1995. It was reaffirmed by the voters in 2000, but has also undergone several revisions in its nearly 30-year history. Legal scholars and lawyers have long debated what is the correct mix of the various goals of sentencing: punishment, rehabilitation, deterrence, or just separation from society. In recent years, criminal justice reform advocates at the local, state, and federal levels have focused attention on mandatory minimums, alleging that they have contributed to over-incarceration and have been applied in a discriminatory manner. Oregon State Senator Floyd Przanski has introduced a bill to do away with all mandatory sentences except murder, giving the trial judges more discretion in sentencing. Another bill would allow Measure 11 offenders a chance to get out on early release credits. Defenders of mandatory minimums, including many of Oregon's district attorneys, argue that the provisions contribute to clearer, more consistent sentencing and have played an important role in the sharp decrease in crime that the state has witnessed since 1995. We'll hear from two speakers who are involved with these issues every day: State Senator Przanski and Lane County District Attorney Perlow. Will provide different perspectives on the best course of action for Oregon moving forward.
This is Andrew Kallick, and welcome to the City Club of Eugene. Before Senator Przanski and District Attorney Perlow dive into their perspectives on Measure 11, we wanted to provide a brief Measure 11 101 for our listening audience. Measure 11 was a citizens' ballot initiative that was enacted by a nearly 2-to-1 margin in November 1994. The measure required mandatory minimum prison sentences for 16 serious offenses and forbade reductions in a sentence for good behavior and or parole prior to serving the minimum. The measure also required that youth age 15 and older charged with one of those 16 crimes be tried as adults. A companion measure, Measure 10, also passed, which allowed the legislature to change Measure 11, but only by a two-thirds vote of each chamber. Since that time, the legislature has amended Measure 11 on numerous occasions, including adding crimes to the list of mandatory minimums, providing judges with additional discretion for certain crimes, and most notably, a series of changes in 2019 that altered the applicability of Measure 11 to minors in response to a series of decisions by the Supreme Court of the United States, which related to the constitutional rights of children in the criminal justice system. In 2000, a ballot measure that would have repealed Measure 11 completely failed by a nearly 3-to-1 margin. However, in recent years, there have been renewed calls by certain stakeholders for fundamental reform of Measure 11, many of whom assert that Measure 11 has contributed to over-incarceration, with people of color facing the brunt of the impact. At the same time, others continue to oppose the repeal of Measure 11, asserting that the measure makes Oregonians safer and ensures transparent, consistent sentencing. We're lucky to have two Measure 11 experts with us today to dive deeper into this important component of Oregon's criminal justice system. Senator Przanski, you'll be first. Senator.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks to the City Club, Eugene City Club, for hosting today's program on the bad and the ugly of Measure 11, mandatory minimum sentencing. As a prosecutor in this state for the past 34 years, I'm here to tell you why it is important for us to return sentencing decisions involving person felonies to judges and to return the prosecutors to their role as advocates and to remove the unbridled power mandatory minimum sentences has given to them. The history shows that prior to the passage of Measure 11 in 1994, for 135 years, it was the job of judges in Oregon to determine the appropriate sentence, length of sentence for person felony cases, not the prosecutor. Instead of allowing judges to use their discretion to fashion a sentence based on the specific facts in a case, Measure 11 created a one-size-fits-all sentencing structure. No matter if the defendant was a first-time offender or a career criminal, they received the exact same sentence. In the 26 years since Measure 11 became law, we have seen the inequity of the one-size-fits-all sentencing scheme. In removing the discretion from the judges to impose tailored sentences for specific facts and circumstances in a particular case, what we have seen is a shift of Measure 11 actually becoming what's known as a one-strike and you're out sentencing structure. Again, even though a person may have no criminal history, they will receive the exact same sentence, mandatory minimum sentence, as a career criminal. Even though judges may consider aggravating circumstances raised by the district attorney, they are prohibited from considering any other circumstances that may be mitigating factors for consideration in sentencing. In other words, the district attorney is allowed to ask for longer sentences based on aggravating circumstances around the crime, but the defendant is prohibited from asking the court to impose a more lenient sentence based on mitigating circumstances, such as being a juvenile, being a first-time offender, or a person who has experienced childhood trauma that caused the issues that brought them before the court. In other non-Measure 11 felony cases, judges consider all of this information and reports, both from the district attorney and from the defense, before pronouncing what the individual sentence will be. Judges have complained through the years that the mandatory minimum sentencing demanded by Measure 11 often is inappropriate. Further, that even though the legislature amended Measure 11 as it applies to youth, it still applies to youth as young as 15 years of age. Measure 11 shifted the power decision process from the judge to the district attorney when it comes to sentencing, again, individuals as young as 15 years of age. Now, Measure 11 was instituted, as I mentioned, 26 years ago, putting the district attorneys in what I would call the catbird seat. Measure 11 made it possible for district attorneys to stack unreasonable conditions on crime suspects to accept a deal. Well, let me give you some examples of how egregious these conditions can be. For a person to forego any appeal rights, for a person to not be able to participate in rehabilitative programs while they're in custody, and in fact, receive a longer sentence for a charge that they will plead guilty to in accepting a deal that would keep them out of the mandatory minimum sentencing. Voters never intended that judges should lose their discretion when they are in sentencing phase. They did not intend to shift the balance of power and control to district attorneys in negotiations, but that is what the results are when you have a mandatory minimum sentence process. Last December, December 2020, the Oregon District Attorneys Association, ODAA, commissioned a survey poll of registered voters concerning mandatory minimum sentencing. One of the questions they asked actually got a response that 58% of those polled supported replacing Measure 11 sentences with discretionary sentences that would provide for judges to make the, with a suggested range of imprisonment, the decision of how long a person should serve. A recommended sentence is what that would be considered. And then at that point, the judge would be able to, one, take in any information that the prosecutor would want to argue for a longer sentence if they had aggravating circumstances. It would also allow for defense or the defense attorneys to ask for a mitigated sentence, a lower sentence, if they had facts that would in fact show that it was just in that particular case. This is exactly the same way that non-Measure 11 felony cases are sentenced in Oregon today. Even though their poll shows Oregonians want to put the discretion back into the judge's hands and remove it from a mandatory minimum sentencing, ODA continues to oppose judicial discretion for one simple reason: to retain the unbridled power and control district attorneys have under Measure 11 with mandatory minimum sentencing. Measure 11 puts the defense attorneys, I said, in this catbird position, and they are not willing to give that up because they understand and they now live on the power and the control they have in this process. To address this unfair balance of power, the legislature should make the current Measure 11 mandatory minimum sentences what's known as presumptive sentences. As I mentioned before, this is exactly how we have cases processed for sentencing that are not Measure 11 offenses today. In other words, what we would see is that the sentences would become a recommended sentence, but the judges would have the discretion to require either a longer or a shorter sentence to be imposed based on the particular cases and the facts that arise from that case. Both the district attorney and the defense attorney would continue to be advocates in the courtroom. They would be expected to put their points of law and facts supporting their recommendation before the judge, but then the judge, not the prosecutor, would decide the appropriate sentence. It must be noted that some district attorneys have even said they don't trust judges who stand for election by the people of Oregon to actually provide a sentence that's fair and just under the circumstances. Let me say that one more time. There are DAs in this state that do not trust judges to properly sentence an individual. That viewpoint shows why the unchecked power that they've received over the last 26 years has warped their perception, and we need to go back to the basics of what we've had before. Since the founding of Oregon 162 years ago, the sentencing has always been vested in the judges, not the prosecutor. The power to impose sentences is one that should be left with the judges. And this is time for the legislature to fix this broken process and system. It also should be noted the ODAA is still promoting false premises that Measure 11 caused violent crime rates to go down when it passed. It did not. Nationally, at the same time that Measure 11 was being voted on by the people in 1994, the crime rate was already going down across the nation, including in Oregon. It continued to go down even with the passage of mandatory minimum sentencing. And it didn't matter whether the state had mandatory minimum sentencing or not, they saw the reduction overall in the violent crime in their states. Currently, the nation is now, including Oregon, is seeing an increase in violent person crimes. So if ODA's premise is correct, or was correct, which it wasn't, that it reduced these crime rates and these crimes, why is it going up now? ODA cannot have it in both ways. They need to come clean on this. I hope that DA Perlo will provide us with answers today as to why violent person crime rates are going up when we have Measure 11 in full effect for the last 26 years since ODA sold this as a means, and they have demonstrated through their own polling and their press releases in the last year that they believe that it was because of the passage of a mandatory minimum sentencing that the crime rates went down. But today, as I said, they're going up. I also hope that ODA and DA Perlo will honor the will of the voters shown in their own poll again and relinquish the unbridled power and control that Measure 11 gave them. But unfortunately, I expect that DA Perlo will continue to rely on the stories of blood and guts to traumatize and put fear into voters and why they need to maintain the unbridled power and control they have gained under Measure 11. As I stated before, it is time and past time for the legislature to take action. It's time for the legislature to return sentencing to judges, remove the power and control DAs gained under mandatory minimum sentencing. I hope that we will, in fact, do that as the legislature in the very near future. Thank you very much. I'll pass it to my colleague, DA Perlo.
Thank you, Senator Przanski, and thank you to the City Club. It may be disappointing to you to hear that I am not here as an advocate for Measure 11. I'm here as an advocate for having the voters decide and an informed electorate decide whether or not to retain the mandatory minimum sentences imposed by Measure 11. I'd like to start with a little history about sentencing in Oregon. Prior to 1989, judges had full discretion to sentence any offender, misdemeanor or felony, up to the statutory maximum. And so for a Class A felony like rape in the first degree, burglary in the first degree, assault in the first degree, manslaughter in the first degree, a judge could sentence an offender to probation or a sentence up to 20 years in prison. I have a file in my office right now. It's a 1988 rape of a child case, 5-year-old. By the stepfather, because the child, I'm assuming looking back at the file because it's so old, that the prosecutor resolved the case for a sex abuse one, despite the terrible facts, because the child couldn't qualify to testify as a witness. And so it was resolved for a sex abuse one, which in 1995 became a Measure 11 offense. The white male defendant with the retained attorney was given probation and ordered to attend sex offender treatment. Shortly thereafter the sentencing, the defendant fled the state of Oregon, did not attend sex offender treatment, despite a sex offender evaluation saying how very dangerous this person was untreated in the community, and absconded for 10 years before he was captured in another state and extradited back to Oregon. And so that's what sentencing is like with unbridled discretion. The legislature in 1987 passed laws creating the sentencing guidelines and giving control to the Criminal Justice Commission on what the appropriate sentence range would be for a judge to consider. So it's not exactly honest to be saying that we should be giving discretion to judges to decide what the sentence is. It's actually the Criminal Justice Commission who dictates to judges what the sentencing range will be. And so it's based upon the crime seriousness and the criminal history of the defendant. And so for assault in the first degree, somebody intentionally causes serious physical injury with a weapon to another person. One example is with firearm, shoots the person with the intent to kill them, but because we have great trauma care, the person doesn't die, survives, and has debilitating injuries for the rest of life. Under the sentencing guidelines, that person could be sentenced, let's say he has one prior person felony conviction, for between 91 and 110 months in prison. Under Measure 11, that person would receive 120 months in prison as a mandatory minimum sentence. Of that 91 to 110 months, that person may only serve half of that sentence because of the allowance of programs and the control of the Department of Corrections. And so when a person is a victim of crime going into court and the judge is announcing what the sentence is, when it's a Measure 11 sentence, the person can be confident, the victim can be confident that that person is serving the sentence that was imposed by the court. When it's a non-Measure 11 sentence, the person can be released with having served up to, well, as little as half of the sentence imposed. And so then the victim does not have any confidence in the sentencing. And the court doesn't tell the victim that the person may be released from custody having served as little as half of the sentence. It is up to the district attorney to let the victim and victim services let the victim know that it may be just a matter of, in this case, 46 months before the victim would see the defendant back on the street in the community. Victims lost their voice in Oregon. They finally achieved a voice in Oregon in the 90s and maintained that into the early 2000s, and then the organizations became complacent. And so victims have lost their voice in Oregon, and the narrative has turned to that the defendants, the people who are committing these heinous crimes, are who we should be considering first in these circumstances. Now, if the voters decide that's the case, then we should just follow the rules as established by the voters. And my office will follow whatever the law is with regard to sentencing. But I'm asking that the voters be allowed to make that determination based upon an honest narrative about what that means. Under Measure 11 currently, all of the second tier crimes, assault in the second degree, rape in the second degree, sodomy in the second degree, manslaughter in the second degree, unlawful sexual penetration with a foreign object in the second degree, the judge can take the defendant out of Measure 11 and sentence pursuant to the guidelines, or even less. The judge has authority to put a person on probation who would otherwise be required to serve a prison sentence, even under the guidelines. And so honesty in these conversations needs to include that judges do have discretion on the second tier crimes. The only crimes that the judge is sentencing to a mandatory minimum service are those assault in the first degree, rape in the first degree, sodomy in the first degree, manslaughter in the first degree. If somebody has an extremely violent prior history on an assault in the first degree, the judge could sentence them up to 130 months in prison. And in fact, could sentence longer if there were aggravating factors. The only thing the mandatory minimum does is make sure that they serve that first 120 months of the sentence in prison. After that time period, the Department of Corrections has control over what will happen to the defendant and when the defendant will be released. And so it is just setting a minimum for what somebody who commits one of the most heinous crimes in our community is going to be serving. Since going on to the Criminal Justice Commission's website, over the last 6 years in Lane County, we've had 803 people between 2013 and 2018 charged with Measure 11 offenses. And that was consistent from 1995 to about 2021. We have had violent crime, and the senator's right, violent crime is booming right now. By the end of October of this year, we had already received more Measure 11 offenders into our office for review than all of 2020 or 2019. And we're on par to be at a record pace for these violent felons coming into our office for review for charging. But we haven't processed any of the cases over the last couple of years because of COVID. And so between now and the end of 2022, as of yesterday, we had 721 cases set for trial. 721 cases are set for trial between now and the end of 2022. And we have violent offenders who are awaiting trial, who've been released from the jail, because you can't hold them for greater than 60 days if you can't bring them to trial, and unless the court finds compelling reasons otherwise. And so when the senator's asking, why is violent crime up in our community? There are a lot of factors that have to do with that. One of them is no offender accountability in our community when somebody commits a violent crime. Number two is, if you look at the Criminal Justice Commission assessment of what caused the reduction in violent crime in the state of Oregon, one of the factors was a lessening of risky behavior. Well, we have increased risky behavior dramatically over the last couple of years. People are driving too fast, and our traffic fatalities are up, which would be, the manslaughter charges under Measure 11. And people are using drugs in the park, and they're in drug-induced states, committing violent crimes against our other unhoused population. We have people fleeing the Eugene area as unhoused to Florence, and so that Florence is in a situation where they don't have resources to attend, and the people are fleeing Eugene because it's too dangerous to be unhoused here. So when you say, what's causing the increase in violent crime? Yeah, there are a lot of factors that have to do with it and have nothing to do with Measure 11. We aren't imposing those sentences. We aren't imposing any sentences currently because of the backlog of cases that have happened over the last 2 years. So there are a lot of factors, but yes, not sentencing violent offenders is one of those. When you talk about whether or not we should maintain Measure 11, I don't have a stake in it. It isn't about power to the prosecutors that Measure 11 provides. It's about providing a truth in sentencing and accountability for the most violent offenses that people in our community commit. And the people of the state of Oregon determined what the minimum sentence for these most violent offenses should be. And the legislature has had the opportunity to make some adjustments to that, particularly to the second tier crimes. And they've removed juveniles from this completely. And so that shouldn't even be a factor that we're talking about. There is no circumstance under which a juvenile can be waived to adult court for committing a murder or a rape or any other crime under Measure 11. Because of the way the law was written by the legislature. And so all juveniles are handled through juvenile court, regardless of the level of offense that they commit, and are under the jurisdiction of the juvenile authority, the Oregon Youth Authority, up to age 25.
If you enjoyed this presentation by the City Club of Eugene, please visit our website at cityclubofeugene.org or our Facebook page for more topics. We hope you are inspired to join us for our next podcast episode.